Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore. Positive, happy summer to everybody out there trying to stay cool now after trying to warm up the last month or so. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're just getting warmed up. It's the Back to the Future scratch offs. We will have these next Thursday at Reader's Crab House. We're going to be up in Reisterstown. Had a beautiful day out in Randallstown at the Y this week. You'll be hearing that with John Hoey and Councilman Julian Jones, as well as Barry Williams. You'll hear all of that here. And my pal Jerry Schlichting from Clean Cuisine doing a good turn for Justin Burke's cancer ride going on across the state in August. We'll be talking more about that later. We will be out and about at Costas in Timonium, the brand new location at the track. Make sure you use the back elevator, come in Timonium Road, park your car, go have a good time at Costas. Don't go for the crabs. They only have the crabs in Dundalk. I'm feeling a little crabby after the Orioles melted down 8-0 and lost the game on Wednesday night. But football was really the big news on Tuesday and Wednesday around here. The only 2 days of practice. So it was so important that Lamar showed up, and they all showed up because it's mandatory minicamp. Luke Jones, it was mandatory that he be out there because I don't want you losing your press pass for not going to practice. How are you? How was the day? Not indoors, stormy, not what you want typically on the outdoor set when they get back together about 5 or 6 weeks from now, right?
Well, the big news was someone who didn't take part in practice, but did officially sign with the Baltimore Ravens, and that's Jaire Alexander, the two-time cornerback, Pro Bowl cornerback from the Green Bay Packers, who was released not long ago. And we talked about him in passing a couple times. Lamar Jackson, his former Louisville teammate, interestingly enough, had made a plea. A playful plea, but a plea nonetheless. And I think a plea that indicated that, yeah, the Ravens were in on Jaire Alexander, but he said, go get him, Eric. And well, Eric DaCosta went and got him on Wednesday. And I think as we talked about this, the injuries are the big part, right? I mean, he's played more than seven games in a season just once in the last, going back last four seasons. I mean, played four games in 2021, 2022, stayed healthy, was a Pro Bowl player then, was a Pro Bowl player in 2020 when he stayed healthy. But then the last 2 years, seven games each. So
Been
that's
Marlon Humphrey when he plays, right? Like that, right? He's been that good,
I
right?
mean, his last two seasons in which he stayed mostly healthy, he's been to the Pro Bowl. Now, the fact that he was available to the Ravens, and of course, indications are there was a Lamar discount here. He did have money, more money on the table elsewhere, but the fact that you sign him 4 years base with a couple more million in incentives that he can reach through playing time, that was not an indication of his play. That was an indication of his availability or lack thereof. So I like this deal a lot. I said all along, if you can get him for 3 or 4 million and then a max value of, I think I said eight even, and the max value for this is six. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? Because you look at the makeup of their secondary. They've already lost Ardarius Washington. So we've kind of talked about, okay, you have Kyle Hamilton and your rookie first round pick, Malachi Starks, but you're lighter at the safety position at the moment. And I still think it's very much on the table for them to add a veteran safety at some point in time. But now that you have Marlon Humphrey, you have Nate Wiggins going into his second year as a first-round pick who had a solid rookie season. You've now added Jaire Alexander. And I think part of this equation is still Chidobe Awuzie, who is similar to Alexander, not in the sense that he's been the Pro Bowls, because he hasn't, but at his best for Cincinnati a few years ago, I mean, he was a number one corner. But he's also had some injuries. So I think you look at this in terms of, kind of looking at these guys collectively, and you say, all right, Jaire Alexander is probably not going to play 17 games. Awuzie is probably not going to play 17 games. But, Marlon Humphrey, save for 2023, has stayed mostly healthy in his career, mostly durable. And he certainly rebounded last year. And you have Nate Wiggins, who's 22 years old. Yeah, that's a pretty good threesome and foursome if you add Awuzie at the cornerback position. And that's before you get to TJ Tampa, who I still think they like from a big picture standpoint, and some of their other younger corners on the roster. So, I Marlon Humphrey made the comment that, there's no such thing as, or I forget his exact wording, but he was alluding to the fact that they have so many cover corners now. But we also know Ozzie Newsome for years and years always said you can't have too many corners. They're in much better shape at that position. I mean, they really are. When you think about one of the very few weaknesses that this team had at the end of last season, you would say Brandon Stevens playing on the outside, right? I mean, teams picked on him as well as their defense played overall. That was still a spot where you said that could be better. It's why they didn't re-sign Brandon Stevens. So you let him go, and you've now brought in two veteran corners who, yes, both have an injury history, but if you can get enough out of those guys, and for me, the big key isn't Jaire Alexander to play 17 games. However many games he plays in the regular season, the key for me is he's healthy come January, right? Everything they do is about January. We talked about that the other day, just thinking about roster building and this team's mindset and going through the regular season and who they play early on and when's the bye week and all the different factors that you think about. How healthy are you? But this is all about January. And when you look at this thing on paper, got a pretty formidable group of corners here. The big key is going to be how healthy can they stay? But again, for $4 million, this is a heck of an upside signing. And we'll see how it works out, but it's hard not to look at this deal and think that the Ravens didn't get better on paper, as it pertains to their defense.
Nobody wants to sink money into players that they're not sure about, right? I mean, we talk about
Sure.
pitching in baseball all the time where it's, it's like a ghost. You can't trap it. In the NFL, availability is just, guys could turn an ankle at practice and be done, as we found out a couple months ago with our Darius Washington. But my thought about the health for him and where he is and his availability, this is a great fortune for the Ravens if he can stay healthy, because he's a guy that would have, I mean, he's a quarterback. He's a starting caliber cornerback when he's ready to go. To your point, they didn't have one of those around here 5 or 6 years ago, but 7 years ago before they drafted Humphrey, right? I mean, so like it you were always about the depth of the secondary, the depth of the secondary. They've clearly taken that seriously, but this is good fortune for them, and also their reputation as a place with Lamar and where players want to go, that they can recruit players. The Bengals don't have that. There's other places where they can't recruit players like this, certainly not at a discount.
Well, I mean, could the Bengals recruit with Joe Burrow and their wide receivers? Sure, they could, but does their front office and more specifically their ownership have the willingness to still spend money and still spend to the cap and all that? And that's always come into question. So yeah, the Lamar effect here is huge. I mean, I said all along, my biggest doubts with Alexander beyond the injuries, and I'm still skeptical as far as how healthy he can stay. That's why I said, even if he only plays, I don't know, 8 games, 9 games, 10 games in the regular season, can that at least include him being right and healthy and upright for January, even if he misses time in October, let's say.
Well, this is where we could bring in Tyler O'Neill and say, guys that get hurt usually stay hurt.
Sure.
We don't say
Well,
that about Ronnie Stanley. We haven't said that about Marlon Humphrey. Those are guys who have been hurt. They're kind of where Jaire Alexander is. I mean, Stanley was half foot out of the league. I mean, especially with his big body and all of that. There's no reason to think if Alexander's out there running around right now in June that he's not healthy now. And that's that, then you got a hell of a discount on a good player. I mean, first round draft pick. He was a teener draft pick. He's a serious guy, right? And he's a guy who made it. He didn't flop. He's been inconsistent with his health.
Yeah, I mean, think back. I mean, it's not long ago. You go back to May of 2022 when the Packers signed him to a 4-year, $84 million contract. I mean, this was top of the market cornerback money just 3 years ago, but it's been the injuries. And the Ravens, to their credit, for as much as we talked about the Steve Saunders 2021, all the injuries they had, I mean, just a historic level of injuries, just about. They enjoyed the exact opposite last year. I mean, think about it. Who ended the season on IR of any consequence for them? Now, say Flowers had a 3 or 4 week knee injury at the worst possible time. That was some bad timing. But I mean, think about who missed time during the season. Michael Pierce was on IR for what, 5 or 6 weeks? A couple other guys here and there. They were as healthy as you could possibly be. So you're hoping, first of all, you want to try to duplicate that as best as you can. And Ardarius Washington was a reminder that that wasn't going to happen. But you're hoping that some of your training methods and strength and conditioning program that, you know, some of those things that you've done and you've tweaked over the last 3 to 4 years can make a positive impact here. And part of this is also they're not bringing in Jaire Alexander as the Packers signed him 3 years ago to be the number one corner. I mean, he really, when you look at this thing, and you know, it's kind of overly simplistic to just rank them 1, 2, 3, but you know, he could kind of be their number three corner, you know, if they want to try to keep him on a little more of a snap count. You know, Humphrey starts in the base, Wiggins starts in the base, but base defense is nickel in this day and age. You play three corners, I don't know, 70% of the time, if not more than that. So if you kind of have him be that third guy, you can keep Awuzie into the mix, you know, take him out here and there, rest him a series here and there. You might have a player that one can be very, very effective, and two, you might be able to keep him healthier that way. So again, it's $4 million. It might not work out, but if it doesn't work out, a $4 million 1 year deal does not cripple you in any way. I mean, they've given $4 million to plenty of players who couldn't even just point blank couldn't play, let alone.
Marcus Williams, let's start with that. They gave him four times that, so.
Yeah. So that's where, I mean, there's nothing to dislike about this deal. I mean, we can sit here and be skeptical about how many games he's going to play. And I have questions about the cumulative impact of multiple injuries in recent years. How does that impact someone as far as how well they can play? But again, for what they need, for what they're asking here, for what the anticipated role is, I mean, this is a good fit in that way. So, you know, you hope he's bought in. The fact that he took less money, I think, is a good indication of wants to be here, wants to win a championship, wants to play with his former teammate at Louisville. And you also have the factor of when it is a 1 year deal, there's plenty of motivation for a 28-year-old to say, I'm not done. I want to have a great year. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to stay healthy. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be a good teammate and fit in because regardless of how we play as a team, I'm going to be hitting the market then come March. So, you know, I want to have my best possible season. So again, for the cost, I think it's impossible to dislike this deal. You know, I saw some sentiment and conjecture on social media, you know, is this the move that gets the Ravens over the hump? And I hate that categorization because it implies that their roster has been lacking when they've had these January shortcomings. And I just don't think that's been the case. I think their best players need to play like their best players in the biggest moments. But when you add another talented player to your secondary, it should make your defense more complete. It makes your defense deeper. It makes you more formidable on the back end. And I think really when you think about what happened with Ardarius Washington and how that impacts your secondary, right? When they drafted Malachi Starks, you heard me talking about three safety alignments, three safety alignments, three safety alignments, where they could play three safety nickel and Hamilton would slide down and play the slot. You know, they could have done the same thing with Malachi Starks doing that. But now, while I still think they're going to add another safety at some point, and in the meantime, they're going to evaluate Sanusi Kane, Bo Braid, Jalen Armour-Davis was getting some looks at safety rather than corner. You know, they can continue to do that early in training camp, but I think what this means now, when you look at their group of corners, they're much more back. They're back to being much more of a three corner nickel kind of team. They might be a four corner dime kind of team, right? And you know, we're going to see how much Trenton Simpson stays on the field in sub packages. So they could be in a lot of dime, but now you're in a position where you have Humphrey, Wiggins, Alexander, Awuzie, TJ Tampa had a good spring. You know, so you've got four, maybe five cornerbacks that you can trust. And that's not even counting Armour-Davis, who another injury, you know, an injury plagued kind of guy who hasn't been able to fully develop in that way, but they've liked him when he's been healthy and available. So you need deep depth. But because I've mentioned some of these guys have had some injuries. But you know, again, when you add Jaire Alexander on the cheap like this, I mean, there's nothing to dislike about it. It's just going to be the question of how does he fit? And the biggest one, how healthy can he stay? And like I said, for me, this is not, oh, he must play 17 games. This is much more, let's have him navigate a season, keep him healthy. If he has to miss a game here or there, or misses a few games in October or November, but he's has a good chance of being available for January, That's all that matters. I mean, that's all that matters for this team now is January. I mean, we've talked about that for years, and I'm not going to change my tune in that way. They are more than capable of winning a Super Bowl, but I thought they were last year. I thought they were 2 years ago. I thought they were in 2019. So that's where the whole idea of one player getting the Ravens over the hump, I don't subscribe to that notion. I think it's collectively their stars need to be stars, and we've talked about that and beat that horse to death at this point in time. But again, Jaire Alexander coming in for this kind of price tag. I mean, you have to like it if you're the Baltimore Ravens, especially wanting your defense and your secondary to take the next step after improving midway through the year the way they did.
He's made $72 million already. So, taking a discount for a year to go try to win a Super Bowl with his buddy to go get a contract, which Ronnie Stanley did, right? This is a great signing for them. I mean, we sit here and we wring our hands in February about all the free agents are going to lose, and then they lose, and then you wring your hands in March and say, well, they don't have cap room, and then you're like, well, they don't even have a great draft position because they're good, but they'll get a starter, they'll find a player, and they do, and they find a player in the second round last year in Rosengarten, right? So, filling holes. They have a system. They have a way they do things, and it's been incredibly successful. And then the upshot of that is when a player like and we can go through the history of the league, whether it's Steve Smith or whether it's Anquan Boldin who was traded here, but those kinds of acquisitions that happen, especially these kinds of acquisitions, this is the one where if you and I really were putting a dollar in the pot back in February after they get eliminated, after Mark Andrews is run to the hills and doesn't meet the media, and after Lamar loses his MVP, like all of that, and we would say they'll do something in June. They'll get a player. They'll get a starting caliber former first round draft pick who's in his late 20s or early 30s. The next one will be they'll get a rush edge, right? They'll get a pass rusher that sounds like any of the names that we've had in years past. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't work out, but they'll get a 30-something pass rusher too. They'll add that because they do.
Something like that, or like I said, I still think there's a veteran safety to be added, but because they're you love their starters, but if something happens to Kyle Hamilton or Malachi Starks, like who's your starting safety? I mean, even if you have the pie in the sky idea that Ardarius Washington could be back by December, let's say, I mean, it's just so. But you're right, and I think you look at this, and it's a big reminder, as cliche as it's been over the years, and sometimes you roll your eyes, and sometimes you have angst, and sometimes you're even angry if you're a Ravens fan and you see how the start of free agency goes for the Ravens. But starting with Ozzie Newsome, and it's continued with Eric DaCosta, how many times have you heard them say, we don't play a game until September? And you look at what they've done just in very recent history. 2021, they bring in Justin Houston early in training camp. Go look at how many sacks he had that year. A couple years ago, they brought in Arthur Millette at the beginning of training camp. He ends up being a really useful nickel corner for them. They brought in Jadeveon Clowney. They brought in Ronald Darby because they had a need at corner at that point in time. Those guys were added late in August. They brought in Kyle Van Noy at the end of September. So they've done this in recent years. They've
Well, he
done
added
this.
two linebackers in the second week of the season 10 years ago, right? The guy from Pittsburgh, remember? They brought back the
You're
guy
talking about Josh Bynes?
Josh Bynes,
Yeah.
right? I mean, they've done things in season that have they
Sure.
traded for Roquan Smith at the trading deadline. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
there is no day off if you're running the WNST Baltimore Positive Tech Service brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, right? Like at any point, the notion that they signed him, this is the good fortune that they've had and built through having a reputation that when a player, former Pro Bowl corner, is released in Green Bay, not only do they have somebody that's played with him or coached him, they have the ability to get him on the phone, then they have the ability to bring him in and get him at a discount and talk him into, hey, did you see what we did for Ronnie Stanley's bank account? Yeah, you got $72 million. You might sign a $60 million deal next year if you come in here and play.
Yeah, no question. And whether it's going to be here or not, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that,
Oh, I don't say it's here. I'm saying you're going to get
right?
paid.
But
Right.
you have a platform to go get paid, right? I mean, we've seen
Resurrect
that.
your career. Right.
Exactly. I mean, and again, this guy can play when he's healthy, but that's a major caveat. Again, I'm not going to sit here and just say that it 100% is going to work out, because it might not. I mean, again, 2021, 4 games, 2022, 16 games, Pro Bowl. And then the last 2 years, 7 games, 7 games. So he's missed a lot of football the last 4 years. So you do have to take that into account. He's only 28. He's not 35, but he's 28 and he's got quite an injury history. So we're going to see how this looks. But again, on the heels of losing Ardarius Washington and understanding what that meant as far as how what your vision was for your secondary, where I think it was much more three safeties, mix in a third corner and dime. You know, of course, you're still going to use three corners and nickel, but I think it was going to be a very three safety heavy kind of secondary. And I think they've flipped now that it's going to be a very heavy three corner secondary. So, and you've even got some depth there, because again, you have Awuzie, you have TJ Tampa. You know, you drafted two corners this year, but they were 6-round picks. I mean, I think one of those guys will stick on the back end of the roster, and we'll see about the other guy maybe on the practice squad. So, you know, you have Armour Davis, you have some, you know, a couple second year safeties that you're going to take a look at. But like I said, I still think a veteran safety could be added. That could be in the mix. But you're now in a position where the addition of that veteran safety isn't quite as critical in terms of, like, I don't think you need to go spend real money on the absolute best safety that might be available. It might be the guy that's the third or fourth best safety that's available that you think is a good fit for you. So we're going to see that, you know, but it's true. The roster is never set. I mean, it's why I try to be very clear when we get to final cuts on whenever it is most years, August 30th, August 31st, September 1st. I always try to make a point to say it's the initial 53-man roster. It's not the final 53-man
Well, and they're
roster.
always messing around with veteran players
Yeah.
about guaranteeing their contracts at that point. They'll have some 30-something hanger on that they don't want to get, they don't want to vest. So they'll, you know, they'll hide them. You know, there's just they know how to play the game. They don't get caught making clerical mistakes. They do get caught with John Harbaugh cheating and getting people out on the field when he shouldn't have them out there. But when it comes to clerical stuff, when it comes to them losing draft picks and not knowing who they're going to draft, like the Vikings did 1 year, or screwing up a contract and letting somebody slide out the side door like the Carolina Panthers have done, or not knowing the rules, they're never gonna take a back seat to anybody when it comes to that part of pro personnel. And that's a George Kokinas thing, that's an Eric DaCosta thing. They know the league and they know availability, and more than that, they assess value. They rarely overpay for players, right? Like the Marcus Williams thing and the Earl Thomas thing. If I run into Eric DaCosta at the coffee shop, like we used to back in the day. We ran into him now. I'd have some other things to say to him, but it would always be about, you know, what's the surprise? What's the thing you got up your sleeve? Who's the player that, if they become available, you could get? And they fulfilled a pretty nice little Willy Wonka tree over the course of years that when a player is out in the marketplace and they covet him, and it's not some $30 million cap number, it's somebody who's in this precarious position of trying to resurrect their career and has potential, they'll bring him in. They'll bring him in.
Yeah.
And that's what they've been known as from the beginning, right? Matt
Right.
Burke moving forward, right?
But it's so funny to look at the timing of that, how when are the team that's trying to make a splash at the beginning of free agency, that's when it tends to be Earl Thomas. It's when it tends to be Marcus Williams, which, you know, Marcus Williams, his first couple years, the play wasn't bad. He had some injuries that they couldn't have foreseen, and then last year it completely fell apart. Odell Beckham, you know, I mean, Beckham was such a unique circumstance. I mean, they're trying to mend fences with their superstar quarterback, right? So I even talked about that in passing the other day when we were talking about DeAndre Hopkins, that, you know, Beckham was, yeah, that was the Lamar tax, basically. You know, that was a olive branch to Lamar to get him to talk a little bit more, and they got a deal done, what, 2.5, 3 weeks later. So it was a 1-year deal. Did it cripple them in any way? No, of course not. So it's the same thing with this, with Jaire Alexander. He might tear his ACL in week 3, and I don't say that to be morbid. I'm just that can happen to anybody. We know that, right? I mean, that's football. It's cruel. It really is cruel. But he might play 5 games all year. He might not be available in January. But for $4 million, I'll do that bet 10 times out of 10, knowing what kind of player he's been when he's been healthy in recent years. So we're going to see. And again, like I said, they're in a position with their depth that Jaire Alexander doesn't need to be a 65, 70 snap guy every single week. I mean, they can pick their spots a little bit and rotate him and Awuzie. You know, there's different things you can do on that front. So I just think this made so much sense when you saw the price point. And my skepticism was much more that some other team was going to throw more money at him. And you know, the reports indicate other teams were throwing more money at him. And he said, "Hey, I'll go to Baltimore. I'll play there. You know, I'll play for Chuck Pagano in the secondary and Zach Orr. And I love Lamar. I mean, he's my boy at Louisville. I mean, that was the mindset here. And you know, you get it done for $4 million, and you know, you throw him a couple more million if he can stay healthy and he's playing and not missing games, and he's a big part of your defense. Then, I mean, this is great in that regard. So, you know, it again, there's no downside here. You know, the downside is his lack of availability. That's why he was available for $4 million. If that wasn't an issue,
You couldn't afford him. Right. Yeah.
he'd probably still be a Packer, right? I mean, that
Right.
would,
Sure. Right.
and you know, and I know he's had, you know, he's a unique personality. You know, that might be the best way to put it. You know, there's some, I don't want to say exactly, because I'm that not that familiar with him to say this, but there's some element of a Marcus Peters in him that, you know, he's had some
My dad
personality.
would call it a hot dog, but that's an old-fashioned term. It's probably worse than that in the modern era, where you're making $70 million. You're not just a hot dog. You're malcontent. On various days, difficult to coach. How about that? Can we use that?
I mean, remember, he had the weird thing where he went to the huddle and, you know, he wasn't one of the team captains at o in overtime and did the coin toss. You know, it was just a weird, like a bizarre, weird kind of thing. But, you
There's a
know,
level of emotional immaturity here that I don't miss at all, whether it's Justin Tucker, whether it's guys dropping N-bombs in the locker room, whether it's just I don't miss any of that part of the drama, because you and I stick to the football for the most, unless Justin Tucker's out getting dirty rubdowns, then we have to talk about it. But like in a general sense, they've had all sorts of troubled cats out there. They've had guys die this time of the year of drug overdoses and kick that to the curb. They've had all sorts of issues out there, but they play football. They play football. You know what I mean? So this is a garden variety problem for a player who once had a maturity issue or whatever they would say about it. That's most of these cats, because they've been coddled since they were 12. And it took me a long time to kind of view it from the outside to say, what is a choir boy in the minds of Eric DaCosta? None of them. Can they play? Put the tape on and we'll figure the rest out. And if they get arrested, we'll call the NFL and they'll do an investigation that never comes out.
And
I mean, that's they have it covered. They don't worry about such things as drinking and driving and, blowing dirty numbers for cops in the South in the middle of the night driving. I saw the Henry Ruggs thing the other day. That's the cautionary tale, right? That's the other side of this. But even that doesn't stick to the Raiders. It didn't cost them a ticket, didn't cost them a fan, and they know that. They know that. That's so problem players. We don't even talk about that really anymore, do we?
Well, I mean, I think it
They
depends.
drafted a kid in the second round. We mentioned it for a minute. If he goes out and has three sacks against Buffalo, we'll never talk about it again until he gets arrested, and then we'll talk about it and say, "Ooh, you shouldn't draft those. You should be drafting more choir boy." I speak both sides because I know how they really are and how the fans would like this to be white, clean, and neat and above the board. And Justin Tucker never. I got people on my thing say Justin Tucker's still not guilty. Fine, have at it. Have your wishes if you need pictures and video for it, but. Fans are fans, and I don't think they care about Jaire Alexander's emotions or emotional immaturity a couple of years ago. They care about him being hurt. That if he's available, and they'll cheer for him. I don't think there's any. I don't think they. We talk about that zero tolerance policy. That's just their bullshit. They just make that up. They just say it, and then they do whatever they want to do, and then we react to it, and they cackle, and then they try to win, and that because it's all about winning for them.
Well, but I would also say on the flip side, you can have the best character guy ever. If he can't play, he's not going to be on the team long. You know, I mean, it's, you
Well,
know,
Mark
it.
Andrews is a great character guy. He dropped the winning, like, so that happens.
Oh,
So.
and to be clear, when I was talking about, I mean, you know, Jaire, the suspension he had in Green Bay, well, again, it was over, like, it was a weird thing with the coin toss. He was, you know, went out there. He wasn't a captain, tried to call the, you know, it was more like a erratic kind of thing. But that said, And I made the very loose, admittedly lazy comparison, let's say, to Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters worked out great here for 2, 2.5 years. And then the last year, when his play started to decline, and I think he was a little more frustrated, he had had the injury the year before, then it started to dissolve.
I
And
remember
that,
sitting in the Cleveland press box after Ozzie dealt for him and having and hearing Ozzie just go on about, oh my God, we got this guy. He's like he's maniacal, he's great, he's motivated, he's pissed off for great. He was all of that when he came in. That's what they want. They want this guy to be F you, Green Bay. You didn't want me. I'm gonna go over here and win with Lamar, and I'm
I
gonna
can stay healthy.
wave a middle
Right.
finger, and I'm gonna bring the Lombardi trophy to Green Bay and parade it around for you. That's the way these guys think.
Yeah, so you hope that motivation can be channeled in a very positive way in 2025. And if you get good play out of him and he has a good season, he will be set up nicely whether he re-signs in Baltimore or goes elsewhere. And you hope it can be a player that can help you win a Super Bowl. Like I said, I hate the, oh, this is the guy that gets them over the hump, because they've had teams that have been more than capable multiple years. When Lamar's been healthy, the only year where Lamar's been healthy where I'd say, not counting his rookie year. I mean, that was, they weren't a Super Bowl caliber team at that point. But 2020, when they lost Ronnie Stanley, when you talked about it at the time, at the time of that injury, you thought their Super Bowl hopes may have just died right there for that season. And, they had issues there. But they've been in that position. They've been in this position where on paper they look like one of the Super Bowl favorites. They're one of the Super Bowl favorites this year. They should be. They have that kind of roster, both sides of the ball. They have, the best regular season quarterback in the NFL the last couple years. So everything's there. You just have to go do it. And you hope that Jaire Alexander can fit in and be part of that. And for $4 million, it's not even a gamble. That's a no-brainer deal to make for $4 million. 6, 7, 8 million, 10 million. Yeah, then I'd say, man, you're spending a lot on a guy who might not be there for you. Four, I'm willing to take that bet. I'm eager to take that bet. And if it doesn't work out, you still have Marlon Humphrey, you still have Nate Wiggins, you have Awuzie, TJ Tampa be in his second year and had a nice spring. We'll see how he develops. It's not as though this isn't a desperation move. This to me is much more of a, not luxury move, because he's going to play. I mean, he's going to play a lot if he's healthy. But this is
Insurance
kind of,
policy is what I call it.
yeah. I mean, I just think this is a great opportunity. And again, it's something that makes Lamar Jackson help happy because he loves the guy. And you have a deal that you need to do with Lamar Jackson, whether it's this week or next February, before that cap number goes up astronomically. It's something that makes your quarterback happy as well. And that's important, right? It's important to keep number eight happy. I mean, that's just, it's the truth when you're talking about your franchise quarterback. You want to do all you can to make your team as good as it can be and keep your quarterback happy in the process. If you can do that for $4 million, I mean, my gosh. I mean, like I said, it's not even something, it was a no-brainer, and we're going to see how it works out.
When do they get back together again now that we're done? Because this was kind of a weird mini camp, and Lamar wasn't around, and Cooper Rush, and he showed. I mean, you only went after twice this week. That unto itself feels a little unusual. The Giants giving them, the easy way out, and they're not out there Thursday when it finally got hot, and like just all of it. Like, John likes practice, and John likes to run them around out there in practice. By the way, did you see Flacco's thing about the 2-a-days, that it's not long enough? Did you see Flacco spouting off? Because it was pretty good.
I did not see that. I saw his comments a couple weeks ago about the whole mentoring quarterbacks thing
No,
was,
that was good. This was this week.
yeah.
Flacco, go find it on Daryl Writer's page or whatever if you want. Flacco basically said, these young guys, they don't know about 2-a-days. Let me tell
Yeah.
you what. I did 2-a-days, real 2-a-days. These guys, we're out there 1 hour and 15 minutes. These guys, they wouldn't know what to do with 2-a-day. Like Flacco went on and on and on about it. It was hilarious. It was so Joe.
Oh yeah.
I love
Oh.
that Joe's still playing and gets to be a sage 40-year-old guy
And he's
to say
40
all
years
the
old.
smart stuff
Yeah.
that he's told me 20 years ago that made sense then and makes even more sense now that, he can show off his ring and say, I mean,
Well, think
we're
about
working
this.
on 17, 18 years in the league now for Flacco, right? This is his 18th season.
Yeah. I mean, it's Harbaugh's 18th year. Yeah. I mean, it's, you think about this. Joe Flacco was drafted about a month and a half before Jonathan Ogden officially retired from the NFL. J.O.'s been in the Hall of Fame now for what, 12 years? I mean, think about the timeline there. I mean, who Joe played for and how he is still hanging on here. And look, we're going to see how it's going to play out in Cleveland. And, if they want a veteran guy, then it'll be Joe. But if they want to go with the younger guys, then Joe probably will be gone at the end of the preseason. But, it is fun to hear his perspective. And, I really liked his comments a couple weeks ago with the mentoring thing, because how big of a storyline was that with Lamar 7 years ago? And I always thought that was unfair to both of those guys. The way that it was categorized. I mean, Joe was the franchise quarterback, albeit on his way out at that point in time when they drafted Lamar. And the idea was in some people's minds that Joe should just like he should just step aside and bow to a rookie and all this. But on the flip side, it didn't mean Joe was being a you know what to the rookie quarterback. That he showed him by example what it meant to be a pro, and helped him when he could. At the same time, they don't exactly have the same skill set either. I mean, Lamar Jackson plays quarterback very differently than Joe Flacco, and that's totally fine. Let's be clear, right? But just hearing him make those comments a couple weeks ago about the his role as a 40-year-old quarterback in a room with a couple rookies, and Kenny Pickett, who is a veteran, even though he's been in the league, 4 years or whatever it is, and that's it. But just to hear him talk, it just reminded me of all that, and I thought, it's really one of those questions that is a they're someone asks it, and it's very easy for you to step in it, depending on what you say. Either you're not a mentor, and that means you're selfish, or you are a mentor, and that means you're not competitive, and you're not trying to win, and you're not really that guy anymore. So, I just thought that was funny. But yeah, I mean,
Cleveland Browns at Ravens, September 14th, 1 p.m., week two. The Ravens will either be 0-1 or 1-0 based on the Buffalo game.
yeah.
Flacco will be their quarterback that day, right? September 14th,
I don't,
right?
I would tend to think so, but I
Right.
don't know. I don't know that for sure though. I mean, I don't know. It's the Browns, man. You know what I mean? Seriously, I say that to sound funny, and it's a little tongue in cheek, but it's also true. It's the
Is
Browns. Who
Deshaun
the heck
Watson
knows?
still on their team? He is,
He's
right?
still on the roster. I mean, the big
I mean, is
question.
he going to go throw footballs 2 weeks from now? I don't know. I
I
really, I
don't
don't.
know. There's been a lot. It's been very vague in terms of, because remember, he had
He
the
was
Achilles.
hurt, right? He
He
was
had the
hurt, right?
Achilles,
Yeah.
and then it's he re-tore it. So
Oh, right. Okay. So
yeah.
he's not
So
available. Okay.
the
That
big
makes it a lot
question.
easier that he's not healthy.
Well, yeah, right. But I think there's some, it's vague. There's some gray area as far as where exactly is he in that recovery. Now, he wasn't on the field taking part in OTAs. I mean, but I have no idea. Like, is he definitively, absolutely out for the year? Or is he someone that will start the year on PUP and maybe he can be back week six? Do they want him to, do they want him to come back? I mean, I think that feels
No.
right. That feels pretty evident they don't at this point. But at the same time, if he's truly healthy, you can't just keep him off the field, right? I mean, you'll get the union after you very quickly. So that whole thing, look, I love Joe, but that quarterback situation is an absolute mess. And you add to it, Shedeur Sanders just got popped going for 100 miles per hour, 40 miles over the speed limit the other day. So,
These guys can't even drive and stay the hell out of trouble. It's amazing. It's just amazing, you know?
I don't know, man. If I were in the NFL, I would just have a driver. And I'm not even talking about like nightlife, like alcohol related or anything like that. To me, it's just like, yeah, I'll just have someone drive me around, like
They have
have.
cars that drive themselves now, Luke,
Right,
and
we're getting to
these
that
guys
point
can
anyway.
afford that, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? So, yeah.
So, but yeah, but no, I mean, not to get too far off track, but yeah, I mean, hearing Joe, and I mean, I think about it even just for my own, the start of my career covering the Ravens, it's going to Westminster. 8:30 practice. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes. Would have availability on the field.
Is
All
that,
the
they
guys.
had air conditioning out there on the field, though, right? Of course,
Yeah,
always,
yeah,
right? Yeah, they
yeah.
did,
Air
right?
conditioning. And then you'd go back to the Best Western. You'd file a couple stories. You'd get some sound up on the website. Call into the station. All that.
Salad days.
And then you'd eat lunch. And then you'd go out there at 2 o'clock for either special teams practice, which would not be the most exciting, but you still needed to go cover it, or they would have a full-blown second practice with your full roster. And man, I'd get home at
I remember
5:15,
your
something like
suntans
that.
were really good that time of
Oh.
year, though. Yeah, you got good sun, if nothing else.
Yeah. But
Like
I
you were a
remember
lifeguard.
I would get home, and this is just lazy me standing on the sideline watching and reporting. I would be exhausted at the end of the day. So for
And you
those
didn't run a
guys,
sprint.
right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So for those guys, even if you're the kicker, even if we're talking about Matt Stover or Billy Cundiff or Steve Hauschka running around out there back in those days,
It was fatiguing.
yeah.
Everyone slept well that night on those half little beds out at the Best Western,
Yeah,
right?
and that's what's funny. When you get to the point where you can talk about that, you have younger reporters on the beat. You're just like, man, you don't realize how good you have it. You didn't have to
You're not even
cover.
sweating through your shirt, dude.
Yeah,
Come on.
you didn't have to cover the 3 o'clock afternoon special teams practice on the field at McDaniel where it was 95 degrees. You didn't deal with that, so you're fine.
Well, there was some shade. Maybe there was no shade. Luke Jones is here. I'm putting him into the shade for the next 6 weeks. The Orioles are out of town. They are in New York this weekend. If it was good, you and I, man, bam, 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 na-na-na-na, we'd go back and visit that rat that was as big as us, up in the Bronx if we want to from
I
10 years
remember
ago.
that.
Yeah, I wish the Orioles were normal. I wish David Rubenstein, because you and I would be in New York this weekend watching baseball, because that's what I'm built to do. But the Orioles will be in New York this weekend. We will be here. I don't know, I might be out with Keith Urban before it's all over. My buddy Mark Bryan from Hootie and the Blowfish checked in with me. I was actually listening to a Hootie and the Blowfish song when a text went off from the guitar player from Hootie and the Blowfish. It was a little strange. I texted him back. We did a half an hour. His band is playing on Friday night down in D.C. at the Atlantis, part of the 9:30 and IMP thing. He's got a solo gig. So Mark Bryan from Hootie and the Blowfish will be here. Also have Jack Hughes from Wang Chung. So Wang Chung and Hootie and the Blowfish coming on the show this week, 80s and 90s. So I'm making it all happen around here to prove that I'm a rocker, but I'm an old rocker. He is Luke. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Ravens football and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.